Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to listeners old and new. I'm Graham Hunter. You can get an extra big interview plus a documentary special every month and hear all our content free of adverts by signing up as a socio at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. This month, only socios get my big interview with Sir Les Ferdinand and a documentary called Pep Talk that I put together with Jonathan Northcroft, star of Stage, Screen and the Sunday Times. For £2.99 per month, you'll also know you're supporting our show. More at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Thanks to all our socios. We need your help to do this. We couldn't and wouldn't do it without you. Unless you're either a Martian or a wonderful, lovely, new socio, you're bound to know by now that I changed my career, changed my life by moving to Spain and covering the wonderful footballers and clubs that you find in La Liga. It was a risk, which paid off, but I'm not the only one to reap the rewards of moving to live and work abroad. In season two of this podcast, I encountered many kindred spirits. Guys like Steve McManaman, who in this compilation show describes how he made friends at Real Madrid following his move from Liverpool. Steve Archibald, a man I know very well and who also calls the city of Barcelona his home, swapped English football for the Camp Nou and proved he was good enough during his first training session. He explains why in this podcast. Gianluca Vialli describes the culture shock he felt after signing for Chelsea. Little wonder. Stan Petrov tells the story of how he learned English flipping burgers. And Thomas Hitzlsperger, what a remarkable man, tells about the prejudices he encountered as a German playing in England. Away from the British game, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, yes, we have interviewed a number of very interesting people, haven't we? Reveals the financial difficulties which sullied his time playing with Atletico Madrid, and Benny McCarthy explains what it was about Ajax which drew him to Amsterdam ahead of potential moves to Barca or Paris. And we finish with two footballers who've made careers in England but revere the football played on foreign fields. They are Messrs Peter Crouch, what a bloody star he is, who grew up in love with Serie A, and Johnny Evans, who'd like a shot at playing in La Liga. And Johnny, I'd love that to happen too.
Pica was on television recently, and he's a bit of a character, can play, bit of a lad, certainly not showing a confidence, intelligence, and he said that in the Old Trafford dressing room, one, I knew this already, we played a lot of poker with Rooney and Shea, Wes Brown and one or two others, and the poker schools helped him a lot, helped him integrate, helped him show exactly what you're saying, decent lad, pays his stakes, learnt a bit of scatological English as well, that helped him. He said there was a huge amount of pranks in the Manchester United dressing room, huge. Came back, he brought some of that back to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Barcelona was scandalised. Fucking touch my shoes.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Fuck. They were absolutely scandalised. Yeah. What were the things that went on in Austria or on trips? Were there pranks? How did you earn your stripes? We know, I think, that Sanchez and Hierro, for every reason, not just footballers, but in terms of what men they were leaders.
Yeah.
Bring us behind the scenes of that group.
I found it quite normal, to be honest. We went out for a meal. I couldn't speak Spanish, sorry, you know, but I had to get up and sing a song. You know, stupid things like that.
You did
know,
that even
like,
then?
Yeah, initiation. It was very, very funny because Rob Jones, the ex-Liverpool player,
fullback,
teammate of mine at Liverpool, he was over visiting and I said to him, we're going out tonight. Do you want to come? So he went, yeah, I'll come. So we all had a meal out, you know, the whole team. And he's with me, you know, and people knew him. because it was I left to come to Real Madrid at 27 and he's 27. I think subsequently went to he retired because his knee was bad, but I think he went to West Ham to try and get back on track. And anyway, he eventually retired injured at 27. Shows you, people talk about sort of Bosmans and this and, oh, isn't it amazing? But I went one way and he retired.
Take your chance while you can, because it can go against you.
I love him. He's still a good friend of mine.
He's a right good player.
He's a brilliant player.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant player. But he retired at 27, and that's the pitfalls of football. And he came over and we went out and I got up and sang a song. And of course, the Spanish lads didn't have a clue what I was singing. I forget what I sung.
No,
I probably sang the Beatles song.
Honestly,
I don't. So I sang
like
a song anyway. And then they said to Rob Jones, right, now it's your turn. So he got up and sung a song as well. And we very rarely went out for meals as teams like that. A lot of the time you'd only do it, you know, before the season or whatever. He came over again whenever it was, and we had another meal and he came out again with us, funny enough. But yeah, it was just like that initiation, sing a song. But it wasn't too bad. Pranks, like every dressing room, loud ones, quiet ones, you know, people who look in the mirror at themselves all the time, people who were, you know, quite scruffy. And the loud ones were like Ivan Algueira was crackers, he was funny. You know,
Roberto Carlos, I presume.
Roberto, yeah, the Brazilian lads enjoyed themselves, didn't they, all the time. So that whole atmosphere just, it was like going from Liverpool, apart from not learning the language, it was like going from Liverpool dressing room to a Spanish type dressing
room. Is that similar?
Yeah, I thought so it was. No huge egos. When I got there, I thought, oh, you know, they just won the Champions League, this might be this, or this might be this. But I actually think, I don't want to say the bad apples in the group, but I think the egos in the group, I think, had just left the club. Panucci had just gone. Davor had just gone. Pedro had just gone. I didn't know them, and I know them now, and the great fellas, but there was always rumours about, oh, he likes this, and he likes to go out there, and he's a bit of a character, and he's this. Clarence had just gone, who people spoke about, or Clarence does this. And so when I got there, I thought, you know what, this is quite cool, this dressing room.
When you walk into the camp now, what effect does that have on you? Does it impress you as a stadium? When you see that you've signed, and you see this place you're going to play for the first time, empty or full?
After I'd signed.
Is it inspirational? Is it interesting? Because it's one hell of a place.
Well, after I'd signed, they just took me away to a hotel. I didn't see a stadium. So I never saw it till next day, I suppose. And no, I thought, oh, it's big.
That was a better way to say it. Okay,
and that was all. The key thing for everything is the pitch is the same size. Okay, it might be 2 yards or 3 yards.
I understand.
Same pitch, and same 11 players here and 11 players here, and everything else is the same. So it's all tucked away. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. The crowd's not going to bother you because they're your crowd anyway. Nobody's going to kill you. It's just a question of 11 against 11. And again, back to the same question, as you get in training ground the first day and you look at yourself and you look at them, you think, am I good enough for this? Can I handle this? And they're looking at you as well. You know, it's not just you that's looking, they're looking. And I could, and everybody was happy.
What stands out in training when you begin to train those first few days? Is it, I don't know, is it Schuster's touch? Is it, does Miguel give you one as a hello? Or what does stand out?
Nothing, just the boxes. When we train in boxes, because they're fanatical, you know, 5-2, which was a big pleasure for players to play in that, and that's where they judge you, because, you know, balls flying around that, and if you've not got a touch, it's
Mickey Hatter's made your camp now career, because nobody's testing you more than you and Mickey, thinking the ball that your first touch is like glue.
No, my first touch was great. There's no problem with first touch. And you never get to be at the very top of anything if your touch is not good. But anyway, it was good. It was good, and there was good. There was nobody in the 5-2 that was better than mine. So, nobody. So that's how you judge it, and that's how they judge you. And then they get comfortable and they give you the ball. And then they play with you, and then you get a little bit closer. And then little by little, that's how it works.
What Chelsea did you find?
Well, I was kind of shocked when I first arrived, because
people won't know why.
Well,
people won't understand why.
Training facilities compared to what we had in Italy, and the fact that we had to train and leave the training ground by 1 o'clock, because at 1:30 we had university students coming in and occupying our facilities, and we couldn't train twice a day. We had 2 days off a week, which was incredible. My point of view, and, you know, even looking at some of the British players under the shower and seeing them quite unfit, if you know what I mean, with a few pounds to lose around that waist. So it was totally different. No need to spend the night before in a hotel, night before the match in a hotel. I mean, with the press, you know, speaking to the press once a month, maybe, if not less. The fans being extremely happy no matter what, as long as you gave very best. Results were important, but effort was more important. So it was a shock for me. But I had to adapt, and I had to help the club to make changes and to become a better club, which is what I tried to do.
Look, from the army, from the discipline, from the self-discipline, from the booming football career, to something I didn't know about until yesterday, the burger van. It appears that people know about this. With all friendship and respect, what the hell?
I'll tell you what it is. I had a friend, obviously I've made a friend, who was called Brian Wilson. He was a security at Celtic Park. I'll tell you how everything started. Obviously at the start I didn't speak any English. I was struggling a lot. And one day I got hurt on the pitch, and obviously we worked there, there was the game, you know, they see things. What that man saw that I couldn't explain what's wrong with me. He saw me struggling. So when I left, they always ordered me a taxi. And so when I got changed after the game, he stopped me and he said, "I'll take you." So he told one of the club secretary, "I'll take Stealing at home." And that's how our friendship started. He started, "You'll come, you'll pick me in the morning, you'll take me to training. You'll wait for me, you'll come pick me up, and you'll bring me back." And you know, we started simple things, you know. You'll sit with me and you'll go, you touch me and you'll go elbow. You touch me, you'll go shoulder, knee, thigh, hamstring. And I'll write it, I'll remember it. Every day we'll have a little conversation, you know. I'll watch a lot of movies and I'll see phrases, you know, "How are you?" And I'll see the response. So I'll go on the next day, you know, when he goes to the car, I'll say, "How are you?" You say, "I'm fine." "How are you?" I said, "I'm fine, thank you." So that's how everything...
It's one step forward.
One step forward. So one day we went out and I wanted something. But at that time, his wife, he had a burger van and his wife was running it. And I couldn't order. So he said to me, "I'm going to teach you something. It will be interesting for you to understand later." So what happened here, I was in a burger van, I was sitting inside and people come. So when they make order, "Can I have?" Or the change when they receive the money, that I will look at it and I will understand. So sometime when somebody will come, you said, "You want to do it?" And I say, "Yeah, I'll do it." So you say, "Can I have 4 burgers?" So I'll know and I say, "Yes, would you like ketchup?" You like? So I will get that and I'll put it together. So now when I go and ask for the bill and, you know, the change and everything, that's how I learned it, because I couldn't go to lessons. I remember they set up to go to a lesson. The lesson was on East Kilbride, and that was in West End in Glasgow. So they've told me that I need to be there for the lesson, but they didn't send any taxi, anything. So, and the next day they said to me, "Why you didn't go to the lesson?" And I was like, how?
Football can be so stupid.
Yeah, how?
How to get there? How to ask anybody for help? How to get back?
I was
never even thought about doing that.
Yeah, so that's how I started. And a lot of people, you know, were asking about it. And I always say, you know, maybe some people feel I wasn't. I knew that I need to learn the language. I knew that I need to get involved in the team talk, in the dressing room, being part of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do it, if you don't show the effort, they'll kick you out. Mm-hmm. The dressing room itself,
they'll pick
will
you.
Kick you out.
He's not trying, he's not involving himself.
And you know what? Everybody at that club, Paul Lambert, Len, you know, Henry Klaas, they've appreciated it because they can see every day I'm coming with something different. And even they start playing a joke with me. I remember I was wearing one Diadora tracksuit, and then when I started getting little bit jokes and boys start to, you know, have a little pop with me, I've kind of smiled again. I've started working harder. I knew that I was well behind. I knew what I need to do, but I felt more welcome. And I think everybody needs to do that. And I'm really against now. I see players that come and they're probably 4 years here and they can't even do an interview in English. And I'm really frustrated that, you know, people say, "Oh, it's down to the player." No, it's down to the club to demand that. Mm-hmm. If you have a player who can be valuable for this club, you need to make sure...
It's your obligation to us. We pay your wages. Here's part of your contract.
Yeah, and that's what... Exactly. And a lot of people fail that, you know, to do that. And after that, they'll see a foreigner coming here. They don't play well here. You'll go somewhere else, you know, back home, and you'll be unbelievable. But but maybe you're not welcome. Sometimes that's the problem.
No,
I had that problem after when the Celtic failed to help me. I think when I've started speaking the language, I've actually asked it, and I think they brought somebody on board. I think they still have got somebody now. And that's a lot of the clubs now have these player liaisons.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I had to learn the banter, but of course there was some prejudice at the beginning. I thought, wow.
Genuinely thought, okay, I stopped joking.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was my experience.
I thought it was always robust fun. I thought we'd got over that, really, to
I
be honest.
I had to, well, you know, we talk about 2016 years ago, and there were some players that honestly believed, you know, I listen to Rammstein and I eat sausages and drink beer. Only and the players approached me with that and said, no, this is wrong, you know. Yeah, I like some German music, but not only. So I grew up with hip-hop music. It's like, really? You're white German. Why do you listen to hip-hop?
Fantastische Vier,
yeah, also. Yeah, a little bit of Fantastische Vier. I tried to introduce them to German hip-hop. That didn't quite work out, but that's another story. So there was some prejudice, and I was surprised to see that.
Prejudice, yeah. In terms of antipathy.
Yeah.
That because you were this typical Bavarian German, that wasn't a good thing. That was a bad thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was indeed. And you just mentioned it. My experience when I was at Celtic for a week on trial, we played in Germany. And this guy, you know, a teammate of mine, a black guy, he was racially abused. And I thought, what is going on here? And
by whom? By German fans?
By German fans, yeah. Mm. And I thought, that was sort of the first experience. And then, like I said, being a foreigner yourself, it just makes you aware of what's going on and the privilege of being abroad and not having any problems as such. But of course, I had experiences then with racism. We talked about it. You have players from all over the world and you know, you just share your stories. And I just felt there's a big responsibility there. If I want to make use of the status that I have as a German international, I want to use it for a good cause. And that was my impression, you know, start with a blog. I mean, I was approached by a German newspaper, Die Zeit. They said they start this blog and they want to have me there because I've lived abroad and maybe I can share some stories. I can talk to teammates and I did so. And I thought that was a very good thing to do.
You touched on Spain loving football. If you take the good side of it, what did you like about Spanish football when you got there?
The wine.
then I've done quite well.
No, what did I like about the Spanish football?
Life, or even Spanish football life.
I enjoyed the life. We had a lot more training than here, because train in the afternoon as well.
Okay, you often did double?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the club. I like Atletico. I really like Atletico. Why we went down, going back to that, why we went down was there were so many problems at Atletico. Jesus Gil went to jail. Didn't pay players' salaries. Players were unhappy. Yes. Players were unhappy.
It's human. Natural.
They didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, certain players, important players.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're not being paid.
Paid for months and months and months and months. Eh?
It's disgusting.
So there were significant problems in the club. That's why we went down. Not on the field.
I got an opportunity to go with the under-20s to African Nations Cup, and then I was best player and top goal scorer. And then, yeah, I got scouted by a few teams, but I decided, hey, I want to go Ajax because they just won the Champions League 96. and Patrick Kluivert became one of the youngest players to score a goal in the final. And if he's 19, I'm 17. If I maybe go there, it's a possibility. I can get into the first team more than anywhere else where I've seen, okay, unless you're Michael Owen or Robbie Fowler and you're English, that will happen in England, but nowhere else, you know, and I'm not English, so I won't be as lucky as them. But if I go to Holland, at Ajax, they give young players a chance. So I think that's probably the best start for me because they have Johan Cruyff and that and best academy. And I think for me to grow is the best education I could ask for. So I said, thank you very much, Mr. Moore. But I want to go to Ajax. And he was like, no, but Barcelona is a fantastic place. But he was already sold on moving to Barcelona because, you know, you see the weather is always amazing. And Barcelona, how could you not? And I got invited to come to Barcelona, to Real Madrid, AC Milan, Monaco, Paris, PSG. There it was a fight between PSG. They've not even seen me. They've heard from another agent about the South African player. And they offered $2 million a year. Without even the agent just said, I said, no. We're looking for the next George Weah. And we've heard. So we're willing to put our money where our mouths is. We don't need to see him. What we've heard is more than enough. They offered big money. And that opened the doors for me, really, because now Rob had in writing, you know, like what were offered and what I can earn. And then obviously as your first time as you're a club president, you're a club owner, but you don't know nothing about football management agent. And he was having this kid that had all these possibilities, and I wanted to stay in Holland and I didn't want to know nothing about anybody else. Ajax was, my mind was set.
It's the right academy for a young guy to break through, yes, learn his skills and then get the big jump forward.
Yes, and the fact that everybody could speak English helped. And above all that, I wasn't going to feel out of place because wherever I looked around, it's like, okay, there's one like me, there's another one, there's one. So it was a great mixture of black players and white players. So you don't feel like, oh, you're the monkey in the zoo, you're the only black guy there. And, you know, it's like, when is somebody going to throw you a banana? But at Ajax, you at home, because as much as there's white players, there's blacks. It's a, you know, it's probably the biggest mixed culture that you will find anywhere.
The Suriname community is huge,
because,
right?
Yes, because Suriname is, they are Dutch colonized, so they almost as class as Dutch players. So all of them, if you're Suriname, you're Dutch. There's no, you're not a foreigner. So, and if you're good, Ajax take you. So you had like so many, and I was like, my God, it's like I never even left South Africa. That's how many black players there was.
What was it for you, Italian football? Because it entranced me, and although I didn't move to Italy, yeah, I moved to Spain partly because I learned that there's another footballing culture,
yeah, yeah,
that they celebrated differently, yeah, they talked about it differently, yeah, and that although our football culture fed the world,
yeah,
there have been some nice varieties developed,
yeah,
since.
Yeah.
What hit you about Italian football?
Yeah, it's mad. You know, for me, Serie A at the time there was the best. We had the best players in the world. For me, I didn't think our league was as strong as that. I mean, the AC Milan team, the Baresi, the Hullet, Van Basten. That was, you know, what a team that was, you know. And obviously Sampdoria, I loved with the it was like Lombardo, the Viales, but obviously the Beppe Signori, Lazio team with Boxic. Paul Ince went out there with, yeah, yeah, Inter Milan. You know, like I watched it every Sunday. Even the The way, I think it was, what's his name, Richardson, you know, the presenter,
James.
Even when he was just sitting there like this with a little espresso and he was reading the pink paper, you know, and I was like, this is, I just loved everything about it.
Me too. The Dolce Vita looked really appealing, didn't it?
And he was in the sun and I was sitting, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh, I've got to go out in the rain and play football, you know, just watching like Gazza when he had his swimming pool and he was doing an interview and I was just thinking, this is just amazing, you know. So
what sort of stage of your career are you at then?
Yeah.
Still playing for Westmead?
I think I was probably on the level there where I was at a pro club. I was probably training at QPR, you know, the local team at Barclays Bank on a Tuesday, Thursday night. And I was on the road, but still a million miles away from that, you know. And
but it's an inspirational view in that case.
Yeah.
You theoretically, as you're sitting watching it, you'd like a piece of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was more to do with the football. Obviously, it was to do with the fact that I think it was more attainable in the fact that obviously the best players in England were going out there as well. It was like Paul Ince and Paul Gascoigne and David Platt.
Yeah.
Obviously, when David Platt was he went to
Liam Brady had been there previously. Hugely successfully.
Yeah, massive. You know, and it became something that. You know, that was, you know, just, I don't know, like, it was like, that was the pinnacle, was Serie A at that time.
It's West Brom all the way, and, you know, you've got your West Brom tattoos, and your Tony Pulis hat, and your Cyril Regis and posters, but one day, La Liga, maybe, interesting, or is the Premier League... You know, for your motivation for...
I would love to play in.
Really?
In Spain, I really would. I mean, I've always been fascinated with Spanish football ever since it was on a Saturday night, Sunday night, on Sky. Mm. My parents, we went to watch Real Madrid, Valencia. I can't remember the year, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I think Ronaldo scored, Zidane scored. I think it was Zidane... had one of the best games of all time. I mean, I've looked it up on YouTube since and you can see the goals and that, and it was just fantastic and being able to experience that. And yeah, something that's always interested me, playing abroad, and like I've told you before, doing a bit of the language learning.
Correcto. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm willing to bet you did. Finally, a reminder that you can get an extra big interview plus a documentary special every month and hear all our content free of adverts by signing up as a socio, by signing up as a member. Join us at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. We need you. For £2.99 per month, you'll also know that you're supporting this independent show that we produce and fund ourselves. There's more on this at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Thank you to all our believers, our members, our socios. We need you for this.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.